I should preach, which has been really good. He lives with me, and he's said to me, "Dad, you want to be really clear to have 3 points when you preach." And I think someone else has said that to me as a very good idea a few years ago. So today I want to speak about 3 points, and I'm hoping next week when I preach next, we remember those 3 points very clearly. And these 3 points relate not just to the process of seeking that we are undertaking as a church, but as we come together for our AGM, the 3 points I want to refer to and reinforce is to seek, and that seeking leads to strength, and that strength leads to success. So seek, strength, and success. And this relates to the passage that we were looking to a couple of weeks ago. And just to sort of give a bit of a recap, what was the picture that we had a couple of weeks ago? Perhaps you can bring it up, thanks, Nick, and we can see that one there. This was the, oh, Sophie, thank you very much. So this is a picture here of what we had up on the board. We had up on the screen of ROV. Now that does stand for remote operating vehicle, operated vehicle, but it also stood for the 3 points that I made a couple of weeks ago related to what I'm looking at here. Can anybody remember those? What were those 3 points, the R, O, and the V? And it was about the life of Asa. Now we looked into him, the son of Abiah, and he was a king that had brought on certain reforms. There's a clue. That's the R, reforms. And these reforms led to obedience, and obedience led to victory. So there was a process that went on in the life of him, which I believe relates to us today. Reforms led to obedience, led to victory. And I thought we'd probably moved on from Asa because we spent the last message on him and the last passage in the book of 2 Chronicles 14. But as we continued looking on, not only Chronicles 15 and 6, but also 1 Chronicles 16, also speak about this man. To be fair, his father had 3 years as king, and this man had 41 years, so a lot more went on in his life. But we summarized last week by using this particular thing here. And what did this represent? It was a sense of setting the bar high. And what it is that God is saying to us about setting the bar high as far as prayer, as far as what it is that we expect God to say to us, and just where we are as a church in terms of setting this bar. So the bar high was the summary of last time, where it is that God has caused us to set the bar. The reforms that Asa made said the bar is set too low. As a people, we have turned our back on God. We have combined him with a number of other gods and belief systems. And the belief we have in God, is not what it could be. And the bar needs to be set higher. So in considering that and building on that today, Nick has said to me, it's always good to start with a joke. So there was a few people that were walking in a queue, ticker-tick, and they were looking up at a new hotel that was built. And they said, what do you think's on the roof of that hotel? And some people were looking and saying, maybe it's a sort of a rooftop swimming pool. Others said, maybe it's a garden. And someone said, no, I think it's a place that you can get drinks. He said, why is that? He said, because hotels always like to set the bar high. It's quite good, wasn't it? Not particularly relevant, but nonetheless. So was that good, Nick? No. There's a certain type of jokes known as dad jokes, and that's a dad joke. So if you're wanting jokes to make your kids moan and groan, just search up dad jokes. So that's the one about setting the bar high. Getting on anyway with the message today in 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, and reading from verse 1 if you've got your Bibles there. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in these times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but the great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with great for every adversity. But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard the words, these words in the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin. And in the mountains of Ephraim, in the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with him from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord their God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whatever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether great or small, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. And he also removed Makkah, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and so that he himself had dedicated silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Let's pray. Father God, we turn to your word this morning. For the light and life it is for us as individuals, for our congregation, and what our church represents in this community and in this nation. So, Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that as we learn it is what it is to seek you and find strength as a result of that, that you will give us success in the areas that you lead and guide and direct. We thank you that this is a prescription right here of what it is that we could do and how it is that we should live. Give us, Lord, the courage in the way you gave Asa courage when the prophet spoke to him. Let this be a prophetic word to us this morning, a word that comes from you, regardless of the sender, as we understand what it is that you're saying to us, that we seek you, that we find strength as a result of that, and through that strength, we see success in the areas that you call us to lead and guide us. Thank you, Lord, for this man and for his example to us today. Amen. So firstly, to seek. That is, seeking is something that the word here sort of may not represent as well as we understand it. So when we hear the word seek, maybe we think of hide and seek, not a word we use so much, or seek.com if you're looking for a job. To understand the meaning of this word seek, it's an incredible, how can I put it? When we're praying before, we often say, "Thank you, Lord." And I said it when we had communion this morning. It's such a weak expression of what it is that we're trying to express by saying thank you. And the word seek here doesn't express the extent to which this is represented. For example, in order to seek something in the way that it's represented here is to fully turn over, to wait upon, to turn everything upside down and to find it. For example, something that happened a couple of weeks ago, we were away in Akaroa, and there was a large explosion northward. And of course, we know it's a gas fire, is that right, Aaron? That slowly seeped out through the over a couple of days and then exploded. Now, we would hope, those of us that have gas appliances at home, that whatever regulations that we have, and perhaps those that weren't adhered to, that resulted in that, the investigation that's currently ongoing, I discovered yesterday, it still hasn't quite determined the cause, although I'm sure it's pretty close to be known, is going through everything. And even before the results of that investigation are coming out, gas fitters, I believe, around the city are finding out the little bits that are being found out, so changes can be made if necessary to practice on the way through. In other words, the guys that are looking into this investigation are not just, the people that are investigating are not just looking into it or glancing at it or seeking it out in the way that we might understand, I need to give it the once over. They are getting to the bottom of it. And when we use that expression, getting to the bottom of it, that's what this word seek means here. To get to the bottom of what God is saying, to get to the bottom, we have to go through a number of layers. The layers may be the looking into it layer, the I better get into it, etc. Conversations I have with people about where do they stand before God. It's time you came here and we talked about your salvation. It's time we had an ongoing conversation of where you stand with God. And people say, I definitely need to have that conversation. It often doesn't result in anything more than that. No matter what the words that are used are, the expression or the action that results from seeking in this way is to get to the bottom. And often we read in the Bible and we think that we have sought the Lord and we've come to an understanding, but we've skipped over things because they're there for the digging. Just want to play a short clip, thanks, if we could, of someone who sought out the Lord in a series of names. So just play this here and we can understand what God discovers as we seek him. Thanks.
In Genesis chapter 5, we have a genealogy. The genealogy in Genesis chapter 5 goes from Adam, the first man, down through Noah. And in Genesis chapter 5, if you wade through that, I encourage you to make a list of the names. Adam gave birth to Seth. Seth, Enosh. Enosh, Kenan. Kenan, Mahalal. Mahalal, Jared. Jared, Enoch. Enoch, Methuselah. Methuselah, Lamech. And Lamech was the father of Noah. Let's take these names. 10 names. But see, the problem is we need to know what the names mean. And if you have a study Bible or a source, a lexicon, what have you, you know that the name Adam means man. As you go through your Bible, when these names are typically first introduced, most of your marginal footnotes will tell you what the name means. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enosh means mortal. Kenan means sorrow. Mahalal means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means the despairing. And the word Noah means rest or comfort. Now, let's read that genealogy as a sentence. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort. Isn't that wild?
So there you go. An example of seeking, an example of what's hidden in our scriptures, things that we don't know is there. I mean, I'm sure a number of us have read the genealogy in Genesis, have understood that Noah, of course, gave birth to those after the flood, and Adam gave birth to Seth, etc., etc. So I did a wee thing with our family. I went back 4 generations, and it said that the guardian of disciples are worthy of victory. Now, that's just an example from our family line going back 4 generations. And I wouldn't mind betting that God intended that each one of us have a genealogy, a story in our life that is there to be sought. So could I encourage you as we move off this first point of seeking that God is there to be found and there is much more depth in his word to us than we might give him credit for. Now secondly, seeking leads to strength because there is a choice that we make. It isn't that we seek, we either seek or we don't seek. And at the start here we see in verse 2 of chapter 15, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found, but if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. I'm not sure what our theology is in this. I know what it is what it should be, but I'm not sure what our theology is on this. For example, in an over-expression and an overextension of a gospel of grace, we may have come and understood that God is always going to be there for us. It doesn't matter what we do, there's unconditional love. And that's certainly true to a point. But if we choose to forsake him, there comes a time where he will forsake us. And I don't know if it's a term in common parlance anymore, but the term God forsaken is a terrible term. It's a term, a descriptive term, probably coming from this and other passages, which talks about how we stand before God if he has forsaken us. Who would want to be God forsaken? But it seems the choice is there, to seek him and be found, or to not seek him and be forsaken. This is a serious juncture in the road, a serious choice that we must make, each one of us. And it seems here for Asa, it was put before him because he was on the verge of great victory or great destruction. Was the nation and the kingdom going to continue with the reforms, the obedience and the victory that had happened before, or was it going to turn back in the way it had happened so many times before? And I believe very much as a church we're on the cusp of the same sort of crossroads. We can always go, but particularly at the moment, we can go either way. So our choice is to seek or be forsaken, and that choice remains for us too. If we do seek him and are found by him, because that's what happens when we seek him. If we seek him diligently and get to the bottom, God will be found by us. It's not some mysterious thing where he is always one step removed. We think we've found him. No, he's gone somewhere else. We go over there and he's gone somewhere else. He will be found by us. And it says, therefore, be strong. So when we've sought and we've found our will and plan and example for our life, it doesn't then just happen. The second step is to be strong. But you, he says, but you, Beckenham Baptist, but you, Neville, but you, Colleen, but you, Andrew, but you, anyone in this room, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded. Now, I don't know if you've read or are inspired by the great cloud of witness in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 talks about the life of faith of many that have gone before. And it says in the middle of it, a passage that I probably haven't picked up, but when it's the old story, when you suddenly get tuned into something, you find it saying, speaking to you time and time again. And what it says is that for many, their life of faith were given promises that were not fulfilled in their lifetime. Now, that's I know it's been there every time I've read Hebrews 11, and yet it just seems to be this time through, it stood out, that there are promises fulfilled but not in their lifetime. That didn't stop the people from being faithful. That didn't stop them from understanding that their work would be rewarded, but it is a long-term thing. So my encouragement to you this morning is, if you have been strong and you're thinking, Lord, I've sought you, I'm pretty sure I found what you're saying, I've been strong, I've been obedient, but it doesn't yet seem that my work has been rewarded, or has had outcomes, the promise remains. Let me reinforce that. How would it be if you're an Old Testament prophet, for example? We talk about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, many others who are now being read as if they were modern day treatises of what's going on in our world. These people were born hundreds and thousands of years ago. They lived a life of faith, knowing what they said was what God wanted them to say, and what they did was what God wanted them to do. But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak. So the reinforcement that we see here in the life of Asa was firstly the command to seek. To seek and God could be found. Secondly, as a result of that, be strong and do what it is that your hands are to do. And we see the big word and, verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy, he took courage and removed the idols. He started with further reforms. The reforms he started with, we see in chapter 14, the reforms that led to obedience, that led to victory. But we see here much greater reforms. And it's almost like he was on the cusp of, what are we to do? Someone came and spoke to him, a prophet particularly called by God, and say, you're at a cusp, you're at a crossroads, this is what you must do. Seek him, be strong, and do it. And then we see the success that's promised. Reading on here, and we see in verse 9, that he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, those who dealt with him from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers. Now, just a quick bit of a geography lesson. You might be aware that the nation of Israel was the 10 tribes in the north, and the nation of Judah was the 10 tribes, or two tribes rather, in the south. And they were Judah and Benjamin. A much smaller number, but we see in chapter 14, victory that was won in that particular context. But we see now that people from Israel are looking and saying, something is happening over there. There is success, there is victory, there is strength, things are being done, the place is getting sorted, I want to join them. And we're seeing here that people came over them in great numbers. Now, please hear me, lest we think success is only measured in numbers, that's not what I'm trying to say. But in this instance here, the number was made up of each individual decision. I'm sure an army or part of an army or a battalion or a company would have gone across and said, there is no leadership in Israel. There is no future for us here. Something is happening down in the south. We're going to go there and join with them. But when we read of the number here, and we don't know what the exact number, and we understand in the book of Numbers in the Bible and other places, all of those numbers of people that made decisions represent individual people. So even though many came across, one by one, each made a decision and said, this is something that I need to do. God brought the success as a result of seeking him and as a result of the strength that came from seeking him and the action that followed. So it seems to be, if we look at the prescription of this morning, there is something that we must do. As a result of seeking him, as a result of being strengthened by knowing what that is, then we do, then God brings success. And I want to refer this back to a passage that we know very well, and I wouldn't have been surprised if you heard that this morning. If we could bring it up, thank you. And it's one you know well also from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7, we're going to read a little bit earlier. And we see here in 2 Chronicles 7, reading from, if I just whip back to here now, sorry, 2 Chronicles 7, and read from verse 12. And some of you will be familiar with it as we get back to this. And it says here, reading from verse 12 in chapter 7, and this was a crossroads that unfortunately was not taken. This passage that we read and understand was a promise and a challenge given to Solomon. And you're thinking, the nation is at its zenith of its power and its might, its majesty before God. Surely they're going to see and make the right choice. And this is the promise that was given, reading from verse 12 there. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven, there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes, that's the Lord talking, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all I have commanded you, and if you keep my commandments and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. So we've often said, or you may have heard it said, that God is the God of second chances, and that's true. It's not always necessary that he would have needed to give us second chances, but he needs to, because often we don't take the chances that are given. This was a chance given to Solomon. You've got a choice. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to follow me and I'll give you victory and you will always have a son on the throne, or are you going to turn away from me? And we saw that while Solomon began the turn and didn't completely turn away from God, his son Rehoboam did, and it became the great downfall and the splitting of the nation ultimately. And yet we see a few chapters later in the passage we're looking at today, another choice is given. God returns again. The people were destitute. They were broken up. They're attacked from all sides. They're desperate. And as the prophet said to Asa, you've been surrounded by all sides. And we see what happens. When they saw their trouble, they turned to God and he was found by them. So in understanding this morning, just in closing, we see that there is a sequence between seeking, strength that comes, and success. And really the application for today is very simple. It's these forms. There's a guy in 1830, a guy Waldeman, and he was in charge of advertising for his company. And Waldeman said back in the day, he said, half of my advertising budget is wasted. You've probably heard that expression. And it's often said that when you think you've got something really important to advertise, you put it out in multiple forms. You know that half of it will be wasted. Half of your television ads won't be seen, and half of your print commercials, etc., won't be, or your print ads won't be seen, etc., etc. And often I find it's like that in churches, where we want to advertise and get something across, and much of what we say may not necessarily get heard. But at the risk of overdoing it this morning, I really want to say that today the application of what we're doing really is about the things that we are seeking God for. These things here we're talking about, Muslim outreach and evangelist, children's outreach and senior or elder outreach, are things that we've been seeking God as a church for some time. Not seeking us. We don't want your ideas. Wonderful as they are and helpful as they might be, we are seeking God. What is God saying to us? And something wonderful happens when the range of folk that are here wait upon the Lord individually and write it down. Already there has been a coming together of a sense of what God is saying. Please could I encourage you, the seeking that brings strength in this for us as a congregation comes as we get to the bottom of it. Not what I think might be a good idea. So whether you're male or female this morning, it just seems to be, for whatever reason, we've got the woman's table at the back there and the man's table, which is where people sit at morning tea. So you can be an honorary bloke this morning. The forms are there. The pens are there. Please fill it out. We would ask you to take them away, bring them back next week at the latest, because we need to seek the Lord. If he is going to give us strength and success with seeing people one by one come to faith with either the children's ministry, the Muslim outreach as an evangelist, or with the elder outreach, it involves us first seeing what God is saying. Because if we get it out of order, there's just no point. If we want to be strong without seeking God, we become a man-made organization. If we expect success without seeking God, it doesn't come that way. So there's an abject lesson in the church this morning. There is something that brings strength to us. I would like to encourage you, when the service finishes, seek it out. It's in the church somewhere. It's something that will bring strength. And when you've found it, just bring it to the back. I'd like to announce it. So a little thing that we can do at the end of the service this morning. But it requires diligent seeking and getting to the bottom. If we could apply this morning this to our hearts and lives, consider what it is that God would say as he said in the life of the King Asa. Let's pray this morning. Father God, at the risk of over-prescribing what we see here in this story, we thank you that in seeking, strength resulted, action resulted after that, and then success was come. So Father, we pray not just for another thing to do. We don't need anything more to do. We are sometimes strung out in doing the things that we are, and we need to look to that. That's not right. However, we do feel, Lord, that these areas of ministry are areas that you have laid before us. But we need to seek you. We need to get to the bottom of it. As with the gas investigation or air crash investigations, we must know. If we don't know the cause of the issue, it will keep on happening again and again and again. It's been said, Lord, that we in the church are great at starting things, average at running them, and terrible when the time comes to concluding them. Father, may we be great at starting them because you have shown us, because we have sought you. May they be great ministries that get underway and run well and continue to run well because you have given us strength and shown us the strategy. We ask for success, Lord, and the success that we ask for is only what you want for us, Lord, because you are not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Old and young, other faiths and across our community. So Father, we come to you a bit desperate this morning. We do need to hear from you. Speak to us, Lord, as we seek you. Give us that strength that comes from seeking, that conviction, that courage, that boldness, that we will press into this area, we will see victory in this area, we will respond to what it is that you are saying to us, neither more nor less, but what you are saying to us. And success coming in the hearts and souls of those turning to you. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. May it be light and life. Speak to us as we seek you this morning, Lord. Amen.